grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Brothers and sisters in our good shepherd, Jesus Christ. Key events in these days and weeks are serving to heighten our consciousness of our good neighbor, the Jew. The one event is a media event. It's that remarkable, almost incredible, 10-hour story being told on national television this week called The Holocaust, with its grisly tale of death, persecution, injustice, rank evil, man's inhumanity to man in a way that perhaps has never been equaled in the history of civilization. The other event is, to some extent, also a media event these days. It's the continuing criticism of our church body, the recent Church Missouri Synod, that we're reading about in the newspapers and hearing about on the broadcast media. The criticism of our church body because of its resolution in the convention last summer to include especially the Jewish people in our evangelism efforts to bring the gospel of Jesus Christ to all the nations in fulfillment of his great commission. The reaction that you and I are having to these two media events is perhaps mixed. On the one hand, a feeling of regret and repentance and a personal guilt for our own inadequacies in dealing with our good neighbors, the Jews. On the other hand, I suppose some perplexity, some questioning about the Christian obligation from the Lord Jesus Christ himself to bring the gospel to all the nations, including the Jewish nation. But more fundamentally, I suppose, than even some of these questions, is the fact that such media events serve to focus our attention on life's most important question. Who is Jesus Christ? What claims does he make for himself? What promises does he offer to us and to all mankind? Who is he? What is it all about? How do I truly love my neighbor, all of them, as he would have me love them? In this week of Misericordias Domini, Good Shepherd Week, the gospel lesson focus on the great discourse of our Lord in John chapter 10, with his magnificent claim to be the Good Shepherd, to be the door through which all men must pass to wish access to the Father. Let us focus this morning on the words read from the gospel, particularly as we ask such questions about Jesus Christ, who he is, what his claims are, what his promises are for us and for all men. There are particularly five profiles in this gospel account that we would think about for a moment or two this morning. Focus number one. Notice Jesus' claim, I am the good shepherd. It's mentioned twice in that gospel account. I am the good shepherd. I know my own and my own know me. I am the good shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep. This imagery of Jesus as shepherd and of the Christian as his sheep is one that is well known to all Christians. It is featured in our art, in our music, our poetry. It's long been an identifying way of talking about the most precious relationship we have to our Lord Jesus Christ. In our morning worship yesterday, the importance of Jesus as the pastor was particularly emphasized. One thing we should observe in this claim of Jesus to be the good shepherd, however, is not merely that it expresses the greatest truth possible about his relationship to us, his sheep, namely that he cares for us, that he supervises us, feeds us, leads us, guides us into our heavenly sheepfold, but after that this is in fact a messianic claim. Jesus, in claiming to be the good shepherd, is setting forth himself as the fulfillment of great Old Testament promises to his chosen people. For example, the word of God through the prophet Isaiah in chapter 40, verse 11, about the coming Messiah, who will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms, he will carry them in his bosom, and gently lead those that are with young. Or again, the word of God through the prophet Jeremiah in chapter 23, in the first six verses, where the prophet condemns, as the messenger of the Lord, those shepherds who have in fact scattered his flock, and then promises that the day will come when he will set shepherds over his flock who will care for them, so that they shall fear no more, nor be dismayed, neither shall any be missing, says the Lord. And immediately thereafter follows the great messianic prophecy of the coming one, who will be a righteous branch, who will reign as king and deal wisely. And then, of course, the great prophecy through Ezekiel, chapter 34, which was the basis of our meditation together yesterday. The tremendous promise that God himself will come as the shepherd to gather his sheep from all the countries, to feed them on the mountains of Israel, that I will myself be the shepherd of my sheep, says the Lord God. So when our Lord Jesus Christ came and spoke to his disciples and through them now to all the nations of all the times, with the grand promise and claim, I am the good shepherd. There is no mistaking our Lord's claim to be the fulfillment of the word of God through his prophets Isaiah, Jeremiah, and Ezekiel. Secondly, it's important to note what that claim entails. What kind of good shepherd he is, what it is that makes him good. He doesn't leave much doubt about it, and as you heard those words of the gospel, you again heard the familiar claim that I lay down my life for my sheep. Three times in a few verses, he emphasizes that it is for this reason that the Father loves him, because he lays down my life that I may take it again. It's an unusual way, supposedly, to become good or to merit the adjective of good shepherd, but this is precisely what his claim is as the fulfillment of God's promises to his chosen people, to be that shepherd who will be good precisely because he lays down his life for his flock. Not for himself, but for his flock, for his sheep, for all of those whom God has made to dwell with him eternally in fellowship. It is a substitutionary laying down of his life. It is a voluntary one. No man taketh my life from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. This is God himself, of his own accord, laying down his life for his sheep. To be sure, this happened, as we know, in a particular time in history, in the first century A.D., as we remember time, and it happened through the agency of a particular group of people. But it was we, all of us, who, like sheep, had gone astray, who led him as a lamb to the slaughter. And he did it voluntarily. He was laying down his life for the sheep. No one nation, no one race, no one people merits the condemnation of history for that act. It was a combination of man's own sinfulness that caused him to lay down his life, as well as his own voluntary, self-giving, substitutionary love that lives under the claim to be the good shepherd who lays down his life for his sheep. And this is in marked contrast, as the text makes clear, to other kinds of shepherding. In the context, the Lord has talked both about the thief who comes only to steal and to kill and destroy, and about the hireling who cares nothing for the sheep. Those today who would feel that all religions have equal claim to truth, and that it really doesn't matter what food the sheep eat so long as they are sincere about their eating, or that those shepherds have equal claim to being God's good shepherds no matter what they feed their flock, so long as we are tolerant of each other, miss the whole point of Jesus' claim to be good. He lays his life down for his sheep in contrast to the thief, in contrast to the hireling, who doesn't care enough about his flock to feed him with the truth of God's own promises in Jesus Christ. Note a third claim that the Good Shepherd makes in the verses immediately preceding the lesson read from the lecture. Twice the Lord claims, "I am the door of the sheep." Again, "I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture." That claim, of course, to be the door is also well known. But think of what it means for you and for me and for all men, brothers and sisters. It means that there is indeed access to God. It means that there's a way back to the Father's home, that we who are lost and in danger from our enemies have a way home. There is a door. There is a way back to the Father's fellowship. And the claim of our Lord is nothing less than that He is that door. It's similar language to words used a few chapters later. And those familiar words, again, a claim of our Lord Jesus. "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me." Some may regard that as a rather exclusivistic claim, and indeed it is. But it is more than a claim. It is an offer. It is a word of promise. It is a word of hope to all who stray and err and who are in danger. The word of promise is that He is the door, that by His laying down of His life for His sheep, His taking His life back again in the resurrection from the dead, His living today continues to mean for all men access to Himself. Well, He tells us what it means that He is the door. "If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture." Three claims are made. He will be saved. He will have the freedom of going in and out. And he will have pasture. What a wonderful word of promise that is for you and for me and to all of those who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And even today, as we hear this word, we feed on the pasture He prepares for us, both in spoken word and in the holy communion of His body and blood. And throughout our lives, our daily baptism continues to feed and nurture us with the food of our good shepherd, who is the door to the sheepfold. Finally, there is another accent that is not to be overlooked, because it tells us that the good shepherd who is also the door, the good shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep so that we may come and go and have pasture and be saved, also has a mission. And it's these familiar words from verse 16 of John 10. "I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will heed my voice. So there shall be one flock, one shepherd." In other words, this great goodness of the Lord, the shepherd, the fulfiller of the Old Testament promise of Him who would nourish His flock, is not limited to God's Old Testament people, but embraces also us, the Gentiles. The other sheep are the Gentile world. All men and women, in short, are His other sheep that are not of this fold, I must bring them also, and they will heed my voice. The task of the Lord Jesus Christ in this world and in the days and years that lie ahead, the task is nothing less than to gather all of the lost and scattered sheep, to have them hear once again the voice of the Good Shepherd, to have them enter through Him who is the door to God's rich fellowship of salvation. And that's your task and my task, in a very special way, to be sure, as future pastors and as present pastors of the Word of the Good Shepherd. What a wonderful joy it is to be His agent in bringing this good news of Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd, to all the nations, even as we confidently look to the day in heaven when indeed the one shepherd with His one flock will all be united in great hymns of praise and adoration to Him who has loved us and has given Himself for us, world without end. Who then is Jesus Christ? What is His claim? And what is our task as we hear His promise? It is quite clear, is it not? It is to thank and adore Him who is the Good Shepherd, the fulfillment of God's promises, who is the door for our own well-being and eternal life, and to share with Him in the great task of bringing that great and good news to all the nations. God help us and feed us as we carry out that task. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.